For the past 4 Lord's Days, we've been studying the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, and this would also include the resurrection of all the dead, as we're studying from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So far, we've exposed theories and arguments of the infidels, and we've given evidence that proved assuredly that Christ was resurrected as we started into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And then in our third sermon, we studied the essentialness of the resurrection, verses 12 through 19, the effect of the resurrection, verses 20 through 28, and then the era taught on the baptism of the dead, verse 29. Last Lord's Day, we studied the example of Paul's life in view of the resurrection, verses 30 through 33, and the exhortation of Paul in view of the resurrection, verses 33 and 34. Now, today we want to study the examination of the means and manner of the resurrection and its explanation, verses 35 through 50 in 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, Preparing for Eternity. And if we're not doing that, we have a problem. And we better get with it, because this is the most important thing we could be doing. Now, let's take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in a proper attitude, and also in accordance to the truth, and that would be the New Testament pattern, thus worshiping God in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would love to get together and open up God's Word at your convenience. Now, we want to mention also, we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And the times of our service are at the end of the program. And one other thing to mention, our website address. And that would be www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and pick up with verse 35. And let's just go ahead and read through verse 50. And then we'll go back and study the verses and dig into this deeper. Verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And that would be, of course, Christ. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. For the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There it is. That's the best commentary on verse 45. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, let's go back to verse 35, and we'll notice here the examination from skeptics concerning the means and manner of the final resurrection of all the dead. Notice again, and this is the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the Church of Christ in Corinth. But some man will say, that would be a skeptic, how are the dead raised up? That's question number one. And with what body do they come? Question number two. So those that question the resurrection of Christ certainly are going to question the resurrection of the dead on the great day of judgment. Go back to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15, the chapter we're studying. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? The two go together, in other words. And so, we need to ask this. Why do people question the power of God? Why do they do it? Because of a lack of faith, evidently. Since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, a knowledge in the, let's put it this way, a lack in the knowledge of the truth certainly is involved. And many are being deceived by the philosophies of man, influenced. Negative influences in our lives can disrupt us from focusing on what is right, what is the truth, from staying with the Word of God. Deception is involved, obviously, and Satan is the great deceiver. Well, remember how Jesus answered the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection, Mark 12:24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? We don't want to be guilty of not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. We want to know the scriptures, and that way we're going to be able to know God. Now notice with me Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that's the power of God in giving man life. This came, of course, by the power of God. We need to appreciate very much the power of God. In John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Since God raised up the dust and formed man in the beginning, he will raise up all the dead in the end. That's right. Let us not be deceived. The Lord said unto Abraham in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah did. Isaac was born. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, the virgin espoused to Joseph, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. And certainly that's true and will always be true. Paul before King Agrippa in Acts 26:8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Well, it shouldn't be incredible with us. Of course not. It shouldn't have been that way with King Agrippa. It certainly shouldn't be that way with anyone. So, the second question of the Corinth skeptics, again, that was quoted by Paul, with what body do they come? Or the manner of the resurrection of the dead is another way of putting that. Remember, the Greeks believed the body was the prison house of the soul, and death released the soul from the body. So they don't want to hear about any bodily resurrection. But Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives the explanation on the manner of the resurrection of the dead as we continue our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going now to verse 36. And let's go through 38. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So Paul knows that to deny the resurrection of the dead is to be unintelligent. And the word was used, thou fool, by Paul. And how foolish it is when people deny the power of God, and when people deny even the existence of God. Well, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's the point, isn't it? They're foolish. The evidence is there for anyone to see. We have a creation. We have a creator. We all are to understand that. And so Paul gives an example of planting a seed. Of course, this has died, and it's buried in the soil. It decays and mingles with the elements in the soil. And that, of course, occurs before it can reproduce its own kind, and it is raised up from the ground. Verse 36. It's quickened, but it has to die first. And that seed is different when it comes up. It comes up a higher form. That stalk of corn coming up out of the ground, that's better than what you planted. Just as the dead in Christ will be raised in glory. 37 and 38, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. Yes, it's going to come up as God gives it a body as it has pleased him. To every seed its own body. So if you plant corn, you're going to reap corn. If you plant cucumber seeds, you're going to reap cucumbers, tomato seed, tomatoes, and on we could go. If you plant Bob Hawkins, as I die, I'm buried, my body is, well, I'll be raised as Bob Hawkins on the day of judgment. My soul, of course, goes, if I'm living faithfully, to paradise. If not, my soul will go to the place of torment in the Hadean realm. But on that great day of judgment, I will be raised as Bob Hawkins. And my soul will reunite. But the body, as we're going to see, is going to be changed. But notice this, and this is verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Skin, we have skin. Of course, beasts have hides. Fishes have scales. Birds, feathers. Different types, you see, of flesh. That's not difficult, is it? But where do you find a creature with half scales and half feathers and half hide and half skin? Well, that's nowhere to be found. That should speak volumes. People are to get it. Evolution is not true. The hypothesis of general evolution, as they want to say, we evolved from lower species. Baloney. It's all baloney. It's deception. It's man thinking he knows better than God, and that's so foolish. Well, we need to make a point here, don't we? Do we not? God created man in his own image. We did not evolve. Don't fall for that mess. And don't allow our children and grandchildren to be succumbed into thinking that we came from apes. Because what is the behavior going to be like? Well, let's go on. Verses 40 and 41. There are also celestial, heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differ from another star in glory. So God, being all-powerful, created all the different kinds of bodies in the beginning. As we study Genesis chapter 1, in 6 literal days, God created all things. Man being the crowning point of creation. The woman, of course, we need to mention is the crowning point of creation, as she was created last. And thus, man had a helpmeet. But notice, verses 42 through 44 now, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There it is. Yes, a natural body being made of flesh and blood grows old, becomes corrupted, eventually dies and decays. Yes, the bones are left after all the flesh is decayed and organs and all that are gone. But a spiritual body is incorruptible and is raised with power. Birth, our conception. Life begins at conception. Birth, we come out of our mother's womb, but we were alive in our mother's womb and a living being. Life, death, the burial and resurrection, immortality, thus, if we're faithful in heaven. Let's appreciate that. Verses 45 through 47, let's notice again. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Adam was natural, wasn't he? Afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. God took the dust of the ground and formed man. That man was Adam, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. No mistake about it. Christ came from heaven. He is eternal. He is part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God, and God the Holy Spirit, making up the one Godhead. Yes, there's one God, that is the Godhead. The personalities, yes, are all equal and in complete harmony. Three personalities of the Godhead. Now, verse 45 reminds us that God created man totally apart from the animals. God made man in his own image, Genesis 1:26, and this refutes theistic evolution. Don't compromise the truth. You won't have the truth anymore. 6 literal 24-hour days. God created all things. Man, yes, made in the image of God. Now, verses 46 and 47, you see we receive a physical body that dies through Adam and Eve. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when they ate of the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually and later died physically. But we receive a spiritual body only through Christ. Romans 5, verses 8 through 12. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Yes, and notice verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam and Eve, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's right. But now let's notice, as we go to 2 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 5 and start with verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's what we're looking forward to. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened as we live in this fleshy body. Not for that which, that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are also confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Are we not looking forward to that day that we're present with the Lord? Well, of course we should be. Well, let's go on before time is gone. Verses 48 through 50. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We will be raised from the dead bodily. Since Christ was raised in a body, this is the basis for the bodily resurrection. Now let's go together to Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? We shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The angel said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. A spiritual body. 2 Corinthians 5:1 again, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And thus, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, therefore our bodies will be spiritual bodies. Aren't we looking forward to that? No more glasses, no more dentures, no more sores, and on I could go. Weakness, arthritis, whatever you want to talk about. That's our bodies. As we get older, we develop, and sometimes even earlier, unfortunately for some. But that's not going to be the case with the spiritual body as we enter into heaven. That's not flesh and blood. Not flesh and blood, of course not. So as we close, there will always be skeptics doubting the resurrection of the dead. If Christ did not live and die for our sins, and if Christ was not resurrected from the dead, then we are most miserable indeed. But the evidence is overwhelming, and the verdict is yes, Christ rose from the grave, and he's now on the right hand of God, and he will come again. And marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Are we prepared for that great day which is coming? Have we obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you in doing so. If not, it's not too late to do something about our situation. We encourage you to study with us further, and we'll assist you in being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We thank you so much for listening today.